Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, coming at you from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and it is Monday, May 15th. Bill and Ann are off enjoying another fantastic vacation. They were last seen, according to Facebook, on the Caribbean island of St. Eustatius in the Dutch Antilles. And if that's not familiar, they aren't far from St. Kitts, St. Martin, off the coast of Venezuela. What we do know is that when Bill and Ann go on vacation, you better break out the atlas. You're about to get a geography lesson. So our hope is that they have a great couple of weeks off and enjoy each other and the Dutch Antilles. Check out their photos on Bill's Facebook page. We hope they are going to have a couple of restful weeks away, and they are celebrating their anniversary, so a special time for them. The Buckmaster Show comes to you live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m., or you can check out all the past shows or the live stream at buckmastershow.com. We have some terrific guests on the show today. We're going to start out with Brian Watson. He's an IRS special agent, and it's always interesting to talk with him. In the second half of the show, we're going to meet two women who have helped put together an incredible history book published earlier this year all about the town of Sahuarita and the surrounding area. Please feel free to join us if you have a question or comment. You can reach us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And let us remind you that the Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Wow, that is 38 years from Moe's. They're doing it right. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, wall art, picture framing, hanging services and systems, you name it, Moe's has it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com, and you can find them on Facebook. Welcome, Brian Watson.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Very good to have you. He is a special agent in the Criminal Investigation Unit of the Internal Revenue Service. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You get that a lot, don't you?
Yeah. Anytime I go to a barbecue or a cocktail party, introduce myself, I get that reaction. And then I spend the next half hour trying to build rapport.
Yeah, I think you're kind of a buzzkill. Is that the term? I guess. Until people find out that your job is actually quite interesting.
It really is. And then once I tell people what I do, then they won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
Then it's just one story after another that I need to tell, and I enjoy doing it.
Very good. Well, when I told people that you were going to be on the show, two questions kept popping up. So let's get to those right at the top of the show, and then we're going to go into some other stuff. Is the IRS really hiring 87,000 agents? That's what we've been hearing for the last year, year and a half, and I know the answer is no, but straighten us out on this.
Yeah, so the number, a lot of it's just lazy reporting. Someone found a stat and then just kept repeating it over and over, and it kind of drove us crazy because we just knew that was completely impossible. We have 2,000 special agents right now. The most we've ever had, just to put things into perspective, is about 3,300 when I got hired back in 1995. I like to joke that's when I got hired, they kind of opened up the floodgates. But we're talking 3,300. So the idea that we're going to get to 87,000 is just comical. Now, some people might say, well, what about the revenue agents? Well, revenue agents, we have about 8,000 revenue agents. Our peak was 16,000. So what we have hired at the IRS were people to answer our phones, 5,000 people in customer service. And the good thing with that, Dan, is our phone answer rate went from a measly 13% last year to 85% or more this year.
Wow.
So that's a good thing. So the money is being spent, you know, a lot of it's upgrades, technology. Our technology needs some help. So it's going to be spent. You can go to irs.gov and you can see how the money is tentatively being planned to be spent over the next few years.
And a lot of the hires, though, are because you have a lot of people retiring. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm eligible to retire. You know, like as a special agent, we're hoping to hire 350 special agents this year. And you think, wow, that's a lot. Well, we could lose 150 to 200 just through retirement. It's just an aging workforce because for many years, the IRS was underfunded, and there were many years we weren't able to hire. So that's how that number went from 3,300 special agents down to 2,000.
Okay, the second question I was getting was, hey, it's May. Most of us were done with the IRS a few weeks ago when our tax returns were due. What do you do the rest of the year?
Yeah, I actually am expected to work 12 months.
Wow.
You know, as a special agent with IRS, our daily calendar is really not based on the tax system. It's based on criminal cases that we're working. A typical tax case could take a year or two to investigate. If we're investigating money laundering charges as it relates to a narcotics case or alien smuggling or public corruption, those cases can take years. But no, as a PIO, I'm really busy during the tax season because a lot of radio stations love to have me in to talk about the various scams. But our cases, we have the long term on our cases. These white collar cases are very complicated. They take a long time to investigate.
Okay, so you're not out there deciding who's going to be audited?
No, I'm not.
Who are the mean people who do that?
So, well, those are the revenue agents are the ones that do the audits, and they have a very complicated system how their audits are chosen. But tax returns are scored. And based on the availability for someone to actually commit fraud. So if you're a W-2 wage earner who's working at a fast food restaurant, your chances of cheating the government on your tax return are very slim because there's a matching system. Well, but if you have multiple rental properties and you have Schedule C businesses and you have investments, there's more ample areas where someone could fudge the numbers.
So if you have a rather uncomplicated return, the chances of you being audited are, can you put a percent on that?
It's really low. I mean, I've looked at like audit percentages. In 2010, just overall, I'm not talking W-2 wage earner, but in 2010, the audit rate was 0.9%. In 2021, 11 years later, it was 0.4%. So we're way down from where we were, you know,
right.
and limited resources, these revenue agents have to choose the audits very carefully or else they're not going to get any money back. And what's the point if you're not bringing money in on the audits?
So if I get worried, if I put down a charitable deduction and I don't happen to have a receipt for that one, should I really worry about that?
No. And that was my mother-in-law. She was like that.
Thanks for the comparison.
She was worried that someone was going to show up at her door because she didn't have a canceled check for a $25 donation.
I am with her. Okay. So I'm not going to worry about that anymore. Okay. Now, scams are a big subject down in Green Valley where I am the editor of the paper, and so I'm glad you came prepared to talk about them. What, pray tell, is pig butchering?
So pig butchering, scary name, it's the latest variation of the classic romance scam, an online scam where a con man or woman builds a months or weeks-long romantic relationship on one of these various online dating platforms. And then in the classic romance scam, they would say, oh, I'm stuck. My credit card got canceled. Can you send me some money so I can come visit you? Well, that's your boyfriend or girlfriend. You send them the money and then say, well, I need more. I need more. And eventually they take you with the money. The pig butchering is they get people to invest in crypto, but they're really not investing in crypto. They'll say, don't you want your grandkids to have a lot of money in the future? Here's a great investment. And they get them to invest this money, sometimes a big amount all at once or a little bit at a time. So I met a lady up in northern Arizona who lost $750,000 to a pig butchering scam. You can look it up online. It actually comes from a Chinese word that relates to butchering a pig.
Mm-hmm.
But it basically, you fatten them up with that love, the attention. You get them to put the money in, and then you take it. And this lady was actually going to a store, putting money, cash into a Bitcoin ATM. That's how she lost all that money.
So what is the IRS interest in all of this?
Financial crimes.
Financial.
So we're the one federal law enforcement agency that's 100% that does financial crimes. So we don't spend a tremendous amount on these things. It's a small portion. And I, like on that one case, I found out that the FBI already had a lead on it. So we just deferred to them, which is very common practice. We deconflict in federal law enforcement or if a local agency is investigating. But the reason I bring it up is, one, it catches your ear.
Right.
But two, our seniors are getting attacked by these financial predators. And the people that call and that interact with them online, they are reading scripts that are proven to work. So if you're, if you're a senior out there or just, anybody, they're equal opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good at tugging on your emotions, and they'll send you a picture of them. They'll send you flowers. They will get you. And if you have mom or dad out there that has an online boyfriend, I mean, I've heard stories of families broken up because mom or dad will not stop sending money to this person they've never met.
Sure.
And they'll literally blow their whole life savings.
Now, we've had a lot of those scams. I've talked to a lot of the victims down in Green Valley, and it's really a sad situation. At what point, so you decide, okay, I'm being ripped off or I have been ripped off, I call the sheriff's department. How does that end up under the purview of the IRS, that case?
Well, it just depends on elements of the crime and who can prove it. A lot of times, you know, the local law enforcement agencies do the vast majority of the criminal investigations just because they have more people and they're really good at the smaller cases. The reason why it might go federal, it's mostly due to venue, because you have international money transactions, transfers, you have multiple states. It's just the federal government is in a better position to work a case that crosses state or international country lines.
Right. Makes sense. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This is a good time to talk about Bill's favorite bakery in town. And of course, that's going to be Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. You can find Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to some of their fine offerings, including that famous Danish Kringle. Find them at monasdanishbakery.com or go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and noble hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Monday one-on-one interview. It's a new segment for Build, my first time hosting since that's on there, so I'm still getting used to it. It's presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News. Somebody to Sun sitting in for Bill. You've joined us in the middle of the Monday one-on-one interview, and our guest is IRS Special Agent Brian Watson. Brian, the IRS investigates a lot of criminal cases. I see the releases when they come out, and all very interesting. Share a couple of the bigger cases that have gone down recently.
Absolutely. So 100% of what we do is financial cases. About 70% are tax-related, and then we do about 30% on the non-tax. So that would be money laundering cases, and I wanted to just give a couple examples of them. We're seeing a lot of the PPP fraud, Paycheck Protection Program fraud. Mm-hmm. Jason and Kimberly Coleman out of Mesa were indicted on a $23 million scheme. Kimberly was just sentenced to 10 years in prison last month, ordered to pay $13 million in restitution. Her husband Jason's being sentenced this afternoon up in Phoenix. I mean, it's egregious. I mean, they were buying Escalades and Mercedes and Rolls Royces and buying property in Mexico and cosmetic surgery. So she got 10 years. We'll see what he gets today. But we're involved in that case with FBI and HSI. It's very common that we work with our law enforcement partners. And then IRS, we also do alien smuggling cases. If you know, you think, why would IRS be involved? Well, we're tackling it from the financial side. So some recent cases here. Yolanda Gonzalez and Armando Holguin pleaded guilty to money laundering the proceeds from this alien smuggling organization. So that's the key word. If we can get a money laundering charge, we can play. And when I say play, we can dedicate a certain amount of our investigative resources to these cases. And then one other alien smuggling case, Manuel de Jesus Ochoa Vasquez, pleaded guilty to a money laundering charge. And then this was out of the plea agreement that I thought was very interesting, because these are some bad people. When you talk mm-hmm. this alien smuggling and how they treat their victims, they had a stash house in Phoenix. The stash house operators would routinely take the aliens' cell phones, shoes, and other outer clothing so they couldn't easily leave. So even if they could sneak out, no shoes, no clothes, no phone, and until they paid their smuggling fee. And then on one occasion, the family was threatened. They threatened a female at the house who was being kept at the house. They threatened to sell her into prostitution if her family did not pay the smuggling fee that was owed. So, you know, when we talk about these alien smuggling cases, there are some true victims here. You know, and we're investigating it from the financial side, but there's a human toll there in how these people are treated.
You guys have a big event coming up on September 11th. Tell us about the 9/11 Tower Challenge.
Yeah, so I'm wearing another hat today, representing the Tucson Stair Climb Challenge on September 11th at the TCC. It's an amazing event. I actually have not done it before, but I was invited to help out, and I wish I'd started earlier. But it's an amazing event. It's a very patriotic event. It's something that Tucson does very well, and it's something that needs to be talked about. And I'm here to just hype it up a little bit. And, you know, the one thing we want to get is we're trying to get some businesses to sponsor the event, to help underwrite the event.
Okay, so who are some of the people who will be actually walking the stairs? It can be anybody, right?
Absolutely. So 1,500 people can sign up. It used to be, it started in 2011, just a small group that wanted to honor the men and women who fell during 9/11. And then it kind of grew. They created a board. They wanted to get the public involved. And it initially started at Arizona Stadium. Now is at TCC. So indoors, you don't get the view of the mountains, but it's indoors.
It's okay.
It's amazing. You get firefighters in their full turnout, their full gear, you mm-hmm. know, wearing all that heavy equipment. You get police, military, bomb squad personnel, all wearing their stuff. But then you also get ages from the lowest age is 16, so that's the minimum. So you get teenagers all the way to retirees and people, all different backgrounds, just all going there with the purpose of raising money for a variety of charities and just honoring the people that lost their lives on 9/11.
And where can people find out more?
So it's 9/11TowerChallengeFoundation.org. You could just go into any search engine and just go into Tucson 9/11 challenge, our tower challenge, anything we'll pull up. But the registration's open right now. You can sign up. And the reason we're talking about it in May right now is we really want to bring in sponsors. And there's on the website, you can go to the sponsor tab. We're looking for sponsors anywhere from $1,000 to $25,000 to help. And you can see the different things you get with that in terms of getting your name publicized, getting registrations. The big thing we like with the sponsors, it helps cover all the overhead expenses so that the money that's brought in from the registration for the participants actually goes out to charities. And the Tower Challenge Foundation's raised and sent out over $300,000 to local police, military, firefighter organizations over the years. So it's just a great event. So, and I know people, the KVOI listeners are some of the most generous listeners in town. If you're a business owner and want to get your name associated with this very fine event, please go to 911towerchallengefoundation.org.
Okay, fantastic. Let's get back to maybe some of the questions people are going to have about their individual returns. If someone prepares, someone else prepares my tax return, am I responsible for what's in it?
You are. And you think, hey, that's not fair. Come on, I paid a professional to do this. But yes, whatever's on that return and you send in that return, you're responsible. And the reason I wanted to bring this up today, it's one of the biggest crimes that we've seen the last few years. Paid return preparers who put fake businesses on tax returns. And we investigate the return preparers who are doing this. So let's say, Dan, you went out to a return preparer in town. That person did your return, and we'll meet with you as special agents and show you copies of your tax return. And there'll be a business on there that you don't even recognize. And I'll say, Mr. Shearer, did you own this carpet cleaning business? Did you own this landscaping business? And you'll say, no, I didn't even know it was on there. They never told me about it. And the reason why these return preparers do it is they can get their clients bigger refunds. They can charge them more. And they can get more people in the door. So this is a good reason why I'm here today. If you're someone who went to a paid preparer this tax season, do yourself a favor and just look at that return page by page, line by line.
So what you're saying is that people are just signing these things without really looking at them, their own returns.
Right, because, you know, it's almost like they think tax is a foreign language.
Right.
I'm not even allowed to look at this return. Whether they give you a paper printout or whether they send you a PDF, it's your responsibility to look at. Now, the really good preparers, they'll go through it line by line with you. There would be no surprises. And what I also want to caution people is this is not all return preparers. This is a few of them that are preparing a lot of these returns. But people are copycats. Criminals are copycats. And I would say this is the biggest tax-related scheme we've seen in the last few years, these return preparers who are creating fake tax returns.
But you do get a lot of tax scams that are circulating on social media. What are we seeing right now?
Right. So the one we saw at the tail end of tax season, and I thought it would still be appropriate to talk about now that we're in May, is something on social media where it encourages people to go on to the tax software, create a fake W-2, a huge W-2, showing a lot of income and a lot of tax withheld, and then instructing you to file a tax return, you get a huge refund. Well, a few slip through the cracks, yes, but most are stopped, and then you're actually exposing yourself to a frivolous return penalty fee of $5,000. Mm-hmm. And if you did enough of these, you could get someone from my part of IRS come talk to you. And, you know, we work cases where people end up being prosecuted. So it's just not worth it. Don't take advice on social media.
Okay, we're coming up to the end of the segment, but I do want to get in here. What is an employee retention credit, and why is it raising red flags?
Right, so we're hearing all the ads on the radio, and employee retention credit is a thing, and it's coming out of COVID, and it's something in the tax law. But unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of promoters who are just out to get a quick buck to get you this credit. I just caution everyone to do their research and actually go to irs.gov, our website, and look up employee retention credits. And we have press release on just some of the things to ask, because they actually don't maybe not tell you that you actually have to amend your tax return, and it may be a wash. Start with your local CPA or enrolled agent. Start with them first before you just talk to someone from an internet ad or a radio ad.
And then briefly, there was a new question on the tax return this year. What was it?
So you basically are asked, in 2021, everyone was asked at any time during 2021, did you receive, sell, exchange, or otherwise dispose of a financial interest in virtual currency? For 2022, it was updated. It was more broad. Did you? And it was asked if you had any digital assets. It's basically the government saying, putting everyone on notice, like, look, you may be investing in crypto or NFTs or something like that. Make sure you report the income if there is income. And if you're not sure if you have income or not, that's when you need to do your research. Maybe go talk to that tax professional. We just don't want people to be jammed up next year, the year after, saying, I didn't know I had to pay taxes on that.
Okay, so it's a reminder.
It is a friendly reminder. It's the same reason on your schedules, Schedule B, where you report interest, you're asked if you have a foreign bank account.
Oh, okay.
Everyone is asked that question, good, whether you remember it or not.
Okay. Okay, that is going to wrap up our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Our thanks to Brian Watson. Brian, where can our listeners learn more about some of the topics we discussed today?
So I would say irs.gov and then or just search the term IRS Dirty Dozen. IRS okay. Dirty Dozen is a great list of all the scams that we see year-round.
Okay, very good. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio. And when we return, you're invited to join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That's 790-2040. We'll be right back with two women who have just published an awesome book titled Sarita, Arizona, Treasured Nuggets from the Past. But the real story is how the book came together. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, who is celebrating his wedding anniversary with his wife, Anne, in the West Indies. Check out all the updates and the photos on his Facebook page. They're rolling in, and they're fascinating. Are you looking for a vacation spot yourself? Our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, would love to host you. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome in studio now Mary Chernosky. She goes by Mac, and Mary Casalitis, two of about a half dozen key figures in a newly published book called Sahuarita, Arizona, Treasured Nuggets from the Past. Welcome.
Thank you.
I have really enjoyed this book. I live in Sahuarita, so it's always great to learn more about the place where you live, but you have branched out even beyond those boundaries and put together what, you know, if you were to just glance at this, it looks like a textbook, Mac. It is so, it's big. I mean, what did it start out to be? And I know it didn't start out to be a history book on the entire area.
No, it started out to be, we have, I was teaching in Sahuarita, and one of the first things that they do when they take you on the bus as a new teacher is they take you on a tour of the district. And I was just amazed by the size. Researching, we found out that Dr. Frick, in the 1950s to 1953, it was approximately 263 square miles. Today, it's 603 square miles.
Wow.
Because of the different small schools that they acquired, okay, that they annexed into the school district. And so one of the teachers approached me and said, you know, I need to do the bus tour with the new teachers. Where's the text? Where's the information that we have on Sahuarita? And we did have different little pamphlets and different little areas of information, but I couldn't find a definitive, more comprehensive informational source about the area. And so that's where it started. And then the scope of it just enlarged and enlarged and enlarged because I met with a whole bunch of sages and they said to me, wait a minute, there's all these other stories to sell. And if you get a bunch of octogenarians and sestagenarians into a room, it's fascinating because they all have different perspectives about their childhood. And so the primary source became our vehicle for wanting to, and we wanted to interview them and hear their stories.
So when the notion first kind of crossed your mind or somebody's mind, what year was it?
It was 2016.
And then this year, it came to fruition. It was just published earlier this year, correct?
It was published in December of 2022, but it was almost on the cusp of 2023, so we're close.
Okay, very good. And so this thing really turned into something that, again, you didn't start out that way, but are you glad it went that direction, even though I know it's a lot of work?
Absolutely, because I think it saved us during the pandemic.
Okay.
When you're isolated in the home, and we had been asking these wonderful sages, I call them, to come to the district office and tell their stories. Some of them have some limitations physically, and it was hard for them. And, you know, sometimes it would get dark in the winter, and our eyesight as we get younger, me too, because I'm in my 70s,
mm-hmm.
It's not the same. And so, you know, you worry about them getting home. Some of them came a distance, and all of a sudden we learned about Zoom. And I said, just go to your computer, and there's a nice little link. Oh, we can't do this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Just press the little link. And they were so thrilled because we could actually exchange. And at that point, it was unlimited. Zoom was kind enough to give teachers unlimited access to that platform. And they were just able to tell their stories. And just, it's just amazing to me to listen to different perspectives because every person's story is unique.
Mary Casalitis, honestly, it is a thrill to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Your reputation is stellar when it comes to lots of things, but particular being a historian in southern Arizona, especially the Aravaca area. You are highly respected and well-known. How did you get roped into this?
Matt called me because the Aravaca School District is one of the feeder schools for Sahuarita. So she called and said, could you just do a little story on Aravaca? And I'm like, okay. And I said, well, what about Sopri? And what about Sierra Colorado School District. And I had already researched most of these, at least some, and at that point, the old Aravaca School was on the National Register, which was an ordeal of trying to research the school itself and all its history and all its teachers and all the people that ever had something to do with it. And I had already had to do that, so I was prepared to present something for Aravaca. And then after SOPRI, I went to SOPRI when it was at Milepost 15 on the Aravaca Road. And now, of course, it's down by Amato. So I already had information about SOPRI. And then after I had turned in these stories, I said, well, what about Helvetia? You guys have a story about Helvetia? Well, I never researched Helvetia, so it was like my opportunity mm-hmm. to do that. And so it just expanded, and I could, during the COVID when I had nothing to do and I had newspapers.com, I could just research things that I had never even thought to research before.
Right. Right. I was just out at the Helvetia Cemetery and just a little over a week ago, and boy, you just wonder about everything that happened around that area. But you probably more than anybody had to understand early on that this was going to be a much bigger project than schools. It may not have been your decision, but you just know that there's just so much more out there than schools, even though for a lot of these ranches, the school had to have been just a meeting spot or almost, you know, the social outlet.
Right, right. Well, since I'm not from Sahuarita, and I knew virtually nothing about Sahuarita, I did not go to high school there because it didn't exist when I went to high school. And I thought, you know, we really need a history of the whole Sahuarita area, because no one will know, if you just limit it to the schools, then no one will know the history of Sahuarita. And I said, I could do that. And so Mary's like, well, yeah, go ahead. So that's what I worked on after I had turned in my little stories. I worked on the history of Sahuarita itself. And then I submitted this little essay about the history of Sahuarita, all condensed as tightly as I could. And it really required a lot of understanding of the mining and the farming. And my favorite part was I had no idea the history of the farming and agriculture in the Sahuarita area. And after I got going on it, going back to the commercial agriculture really started in the 1890s with a man named Hart, H-A-R-T-T. And you could see his name on maps and things, and I'm like, well, who's that? And he was the first person to start to build a farm in the Sahuarita area. And he was interested in, he invented irrigation pumps, and then he started digging wells, and then he died very young. And so after that, he had promoted it in the Midwest. So people were already coming down and looking at Sahuarita as an agricultural area. And it just took off from there. But, you know, Hart needs to have some credit for being the first person.
I think what's interesting to me is we're describing these farms and ranches, and what was out there is that some of the people who contributed actually are telling you where the buildings were on the land, and now you can really picture it. And now as I drive by these, I'm seeing the past, and that is a treat, again, for somebody who lives in that area. Okay, we are going to take a quick break. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Sokolu Village studio with our guests, Mac Chernowski and Mary Casalitis. Join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
You're listening to Bill Buckmaster. The Ramsey Show is coming up at 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shearer, sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a gorgeous 13-acre site that is also home to Socolo Village and all of their fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and socolovillage.com. We're in studio with Mac Chernosky and Mary Casalitis, two of the authors of Sahuarita, Arizona, Treasured Nuggets from the Past. Mac, you have been really spearheading this whole thing. You've been in from the beginning. As we said, this is a project that's been several years in the making. Any surprises?
Absolutely. The surprises come from the story, the primary sources. And so it was a real education for me. I learned about Carl Stevenson, who ran the feedlot in this area. And I had the honor of meeting him. He lived up in Red Rock when I met him with his wife. He was 104 years old. His wife was 92. His second wife was 98, I beg your pardon, years old. Or young. Not old, but his mind was as sharp as a tack, and he was talking about how, you know, he raised the cattle, you know, to feed the people in this area and also the workers and to export the meat, and his family was just absolutely a joy. So you got the sense of not just the agriculture, but also the ranching endeavors that were here in order to supply the workers with the meat and to export the meat, which they did to California. Then I heard about Toops. I kept hearing about this Toops. And so he was well known in this area. The Culversons were well known in this area. And I got to talk to their children, John, Mary, Ellen, and Mark, about their dad. And he apparently just had a steel trap for a mind. And he was in there with the workers. This was at FICO. He was in there with the workers. He was working with them, not just apart from them. He actually got in there and worked with the irrigation system and worked with the cultivation. Initially, they were doing cotton, and they were in competition with the bull farm people. And I live in Quail Creek, and little did I know that that was really the bull farm area. And we were able, through Monica, who's absolutely amazing, have to give her a shout out. She's able to contact the family in California, able to get a hold of Jeannie Klingenberg Herman, who was her great-grandfather was a bull. Her grandfather, excuse me, was a bull that came from Arkansas. And so you had the FICOs actually in competition, I guess you would say, with the cotton produce. They also had a vegetable store there. And so I was constantly amazed at the tenacity of these folks, because this was all rural area. If you come up Old Nogales Highway, there's the Thomas Farm. And they're all boarded up. It's part of, I guess it was purchased by, now I'm going to draw a blank, but the mining people company that came before Ahud Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It begins with an R.
Rosemont.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Augusta Resource.
Yeah, so there you go. And so and there was a gas station there that was Hickey Automotive that's now Uru's. That's mm-hmm. all boarded up. So there's a lot of buildings that we don't know. We had a preeminent historian in this area who was telling people, even though he was a preeminent historian, we can make mistakes because I'm a historian too. And he said, oh, there's no prisoner of war camp. Well, I had all these people telling me that lived this area. There was a World War II camp with German soldiers. In fact, the Bull family had to move and go. During this time, during World War II, they were actually asked to leave when the camp was there.
But it was on their property.
But it was on their property. Well, it's actually where Veterans Memorial Park is.
Sure.
And so then eventually burned down. So I did not know that. I did not know how pesky jackrabbits were. And this may sound terrible, but it's not. There were so many jackrabbits that as they were trying to grow peanuts and cotton and alfalfa, but especially the peanuts, the jackrabbits were eating it. And so, you know, they would go out at night and they would turn the lights on and they would shoot the jackrabbits.
Right, right.
And that was called Jackrabbit Hill. So they're just, the more I listened, and the Tang family. I had the honor of meeting Judge Tang. Judge Tang is a retired Superior Court judge. And he and his family lived in the Continental Store, or ran the Continental Store, as you go up White Horse Canyon Road by where Madeira Canyon is. And today it's the Madeira Gym, if I'm not mistaken, on that right-hand side.
Correct.
So we're always passing buildings. Like Mary corrected me a million times, it's a halfway station, okay? And it was called the halfway station mm-hmm. because it was halfway between Tucson and Nogales, Arizona. And that was a very famous Mexican restaurant. It's still there. It's falling apart, unfortunately. But many famous actors came down to this area. In fact, on the Westerner, which was a film that was filmed on Bull Ranch. So there's so much history here that I was just like, wow, who knew this? And there's buildings that we go by that we just simply don't know what they are. So one of my endeavors is to see with this historical association, which I know you're going to ask me about later, mm-hmm. Is the preservation of our history, because I do not want to see it destroyed. It's very important. You know, we have a school, and we're interested in what's going to happen to that school. I'll leave it at that for mm-hmm. now.
Sure.
But we have a post office that if you go over the railroad tracks on Sawatita Road, that was one of the post office. Every day we're passing things that we know very little about.
Mary Kesselaitis, the book is made up of a lot of stories. How reliable are people's memories when you're trying to put together a history book?
Well, I don't know that you need to worry about reliability. You just read the story, and there's their story as they remember it, and chances are good that it's pretty accurate. But I wouldn't say accuracy is the most important thing. And what you have in this book, you have like a reference book on Sawatita history. So you have many, many stories, and they are going to conflict, perhaps, because people have different opinions and they have different experiences. And And so, but Monica Christensen is the lady who put all the photos in that book. And she went to the State Library and Archives. She went to the Historical Society. She went to people that had pictures and her own family. She's from the McGee Colony. And they, you know, a lot of people had pictures. And so she put the pictures together in this book with the stories. I mean, I wrote my little overview history, but that's all I did. Monica put statistics in there. She put lists of teachers. She put all this. She documented so much stuff in this book that you just have to give her a lot of credit for it turning out to be what it is. And she interviewed a number of people that she knew a lot of people since she had grown up there. And, you know, I'm not from Sahuarita, but she grew up in Sahuarita, and she could go to these families, and they trust her, and they gave her probably the square story as they knew it. And I know it's people, when you go and talk to people, oftentimes you don't, they have to trust you or else you don't get the right story. So
absolutely. Matt Chernosky, real quick, because I don't want to end the hour without this. How do people get it? How do people find the book?
Well, before we talk about how we get it very quickly, sure. I just want to interject one thing, and that's Oscar Gomez was very instrumental in going out because we wanted to make sure we got the Mexican population here. We got the settlers that were here. We had a representation of the African-American population here, the Chinese with the Tangs. We really tried to get a general flavor of all the people that were here. Excellent. And what really surprised me is the bottom line is they said, while segregation was going around in many parts of the country, not to say that it didn't exist,
sure,
but it was different here because everybody was dirt poor trying to make an existence, and they worked together. So I thought that was a really interesting statement. The book is available on Amazon, and it's $19.99. And if you have Amazon Prime, it's free. And all the proceeds, we took no money for this, so we want to emphasize this. We did this out of a real interest to help the community. And $5 of each book that's sold go to the Sahuarita Educational Foundation to help the kids. So thank you very much for allowing me to say that, because that's huge for us.
Okay. Well, and we have just about a minute left here, but I know the dream is to really see a vibrant historical society in this area. What's it going to take?
Well, it's going to take, we already have a template, because where I came from, they were gracious, the community where I came from was gracious enough to share their template. It's going to take us getting that paperwork started, which we're in the process of beginning. And then hopefully by the fall, we will have applications to go out to the public and see who's interested in telling us a little bit about themselves and why they would be interested in volunteering for this organization.
Okay, excellent. And one more time, where can you get the book?
On Amazon, okay. And it's called Sahuarita Arizona, Treasured Nuggets from the Past. And it's $19.99. And it goes to benefit our kids. And ultimately, it's all about our kids, because the next generation is very important. We want them to know their history.
Okay, very good. Our thanks to Mac Chernosky and Mary Casalitis. The byline on the front of the book says Friends of Sahuarita. So that's roughly half dozen people.
It's Oscar Gomez. It's Amy Millett. It's Monica Christiansen. It's Laura Punsky. It's myself. And it's Mary Casalitis. We felt that we all contributed to it, and we didn't want one person to stick out, because this was a team effort. It really was.
It's okay. A book by committee.
Very exactly. Good. Okay, I'm going to be back in this seat on Friday talking to a couple of economic development experts from Pima County. Between now and then, you're going to be listening to several others filling in during the noon hour for our friend Bill Buckmaster. Again, don't forget to check Bill's Facebook page for vacation photos. And remember that all his shows are archived at buckmastershow.com. On behalf of the team here at The Buckmaster Show, you make it a great rest of your Monday.